Okay, Mr. Hagstrom, I'm sorry for the interruption. Continue your testimony, please.
Thank you, Chairman, members of the committee. I was almost done. We have gone, sent out, my boss actually sent out requests for county boards to pass resolutions regarding the 50% reimbursement issue, and we've received back 38 resolutions from county boards asking for 50% reimbursement. I know that that's not going to happen here today. I also know that, would note that in the state of Minnesota we have, 900 probation officers between CPO and CCA. We don't have officers in uniform with guns to come and speak to y'all. We don't have a union of, 60, 70,000 employees to come and lobby for us. It's just us. And I would just like to say I, too, support the Senate version and hope that you are able to find us some additional funding. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony, Mr. Hicks. Representative Hillstone.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So on a slightly additional note, will you be required, as the court implements e-filing and e-discovery, will corrections be required to submit your reports to the court electronically as well?
Mr. Hagstrom.
I see that coming down the road. I don't know that right now in the e-filing statutes that it's necessarily mandated, but it's coming down the road. Right now, there is a work group set up to put our probation agreements, a statewide form for probation agreements, into our case supervision system, the program that we all use for tracking our cases. So, yes, I see that coming down the pipe.
Mr. Chair. Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, currently in the House bill, there is a provision that would permit county probation to apply for grants through the courts to assist in implementing e-filing and e-discovery. Do you believe that that would be something corrections would utilize?
Mr. Hagstrom.
Mr. Chair, my name is Ryan Rudman. I'm the Executive Director and Legislative Liaison for MACAC. I also do represent the Association of Minnesota Counties as their public safety analyst. And yes, absolutely, we would believe that there is a place for counties for our data system. The Court Services Tracking System, or CSTS, is a statewide system. All 87 counties are on it. It is a user-funded. Counties are paying for this system, but it is a single system for all probation. And getting that to talk to the courts would be hugely helpful, particularly as we get, as we move forward with e-filing, e-discovery, and things like that. So that source of funding, I think it's a grant process. So whether we would get it or not, I don't know. But I can certainly envision counties making applications to that pot of money for connect our data.
Mr. Erdman, do you want to testify about anything as long as you're at the table? Or are you?
I'm here primarily to take questions, Mr. Chair.
Okay, very good.
If
thank
need
you.
Be.
Are there any other questions? Well, thank you all for your testimony. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Chair, members of the committee.
Thanks. Next, we'd like to hear from representatives who have been working on the Safe Harbor Project. County Attorney Choi and Sergeant Ganey. I don't know if you're here, or Sergeant Schneider. Maybe to reiterate what Senator Lance, you have this funding. Maybe we should just find out. I'd just like to get a little lay of the land of where the funding for this project actually is. I don't know, County Attorney Choi, if you know, but I...
What's the funding for it? It's in Senator Cohen's budget. That's right.
Senator Lance, because it's...
Okay, Mr. Chairman, Senator Pappas is carrying... this legislation in the Senate. It's a standalone bill, which has gone separately through the finance process, and it's funded in the master budget outside of our omnibus budget.
And Senator Last, do you know how much money that is?
$300,000 one-time funding.
And Senator Last, do you know what that's for?
It's for the development of a statewide training protocol, and I believe implementing the training and distributing the information and so on.
So there's no money in the Health and Human Services budget for... I guess I'm trying to remember now what we have now on the side, because we have... For the whole project.
Related to this initiative.
Oh, okay, Mr. Bauer, do you know, you would do know where all the money is. Thank you. I just want to make sure that, because we're talking about a specific purpose in this budget, but there is money in the housing budget to Representative Clark and in the Representative Huntley's Health and Human Services budget. So I was wondering if that's parallel in the Senate for the shelter expansion and monies for the advocates, et cetera, and building the framework for this. Maybe you could just tell us where everything's at.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Jeff Bauer. I'm the Director of Public Policy at the Family Partnership. I'm not sure if I want the reputation of being the guy who knows where all the money is, but I'll do my best.
There you are.
So just to give a really quick overview, yes, this training fund is a piece of a much broader safe harbor bill that we have moving through. It was a nice, tidy bill, which is now a lot of moving pieces and a lot of moving places. So on the House side currently, in the House version of the HHS omnibus budget bill, there's $2 million for shelter and housing operations. That was a transfer from housing over to DHS. And there's $3 million in Representative Huntley's budget that goes to the Minnesota Department of Health. That's for a statewide director position, six regional coordinators, a $2 million kind of comprehensive grant fund, services grant fund, and then a little bit of evaluation money. So that's the House side, in addition to the $850,000 on the House side for the training fund. In the Senate currently, we have $4 million in Senator Lori's version of the HHS omnibus bill, and that entire amount is for safe harbor, shelter, and housing operations. And then the final piece, which Senator Pappas has been moving through, is the standalone bill with the $300,000 for the safe harbor training fund.
Okay. Very good. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's helpful. County Attorney Choi, welcome to the committee. Maybe just give us, I suspect that members have heard these presentations before, but just specifically, just bring us up to date on this specific chunk of money that we're looking at.
Well, first of all, Mr. Chairman and members of the Conference Committee, I'm really pleased to be here, and I want to thank you, Representative Paymar, for your efforts of including the appropriation on the House side and also to the Senate. And Senator Ladd, thank you for your efforts on the floor, and Senator Pappas, but that's very much appreciated from the standpoint of the law enforcement and prosecution community, because this appropriation that is before you, and obviously I'm here to advocate for the House position because it's a very robust funding of $850,000, and I think the additional $100,000 that you put in for the post board I think is very critical to ensure that we can realize this vision of training all law enforcement officers who deal in these types of situations. You know, 2011 was a really important year for our fight against sex trafficking, because that is when this legislature passed the original Safe Harbor Bill. And there was something put into that bill, which was a delayed effective date of 2014. And the reason being because this change in policy addressing this issue we were making a dramatic shift. We were also making this very important connection between sexual exploitation and trafficking with children who are vulnerable, especially those who are runaways, who are homeless. And so that important shift that occurred in 2011 and allowing for a 2014 effective date, what we had contemplated was is that we needed to figure out ways to get ready for all this. And so right now, pending before the legislature, as was discussed before, are all of those funding bills. But an important part of all of those funds is this particular appropriation that's before you with respect to training law enforcement and prosecution around this new protocol, and then also making that connection with vulnerable youth. Right now, the Ramsey County Attorney's Office, we're undertaking a very extensive review. It's a two-year review process along with the St. Paul Police Department. We just finished the first year. And what we are doing is we are actually going backwards in time because we are making this connection with runaways and reviewing past runaway cases and files within our office and within the St. Paul Police Department to look at to learn a lot about where we're missing things. Because if you think about it, there's a lot more. There's over 1,000 runaways in St. Paul, just girls alone, I believe. And then we know statistically 30 to 40% of runaways are going to be sexually exploited. We also know that through our review that we've identified 179 girls under the age of 18 who have been sexually exploited who are in our runaway database. And so, but on average, those cases don't end up becoming prosecuted because, on average, Ramsey County is only average about 4 to 7 cases per year involving the trafficking of children in our community. But so we know this is a larger problem, and we know that there's a huge gap. And so this review has helped us identify many of the gaps. And one common theme is the identification by law enforcement to recognize situations as actual trafficking situations, and Sergeant Ganey, who's here with me, can talk a little bit more about some of those gaps and also just the awareness that needs to happen amongst law enforcement. So these dollars, I think, can go a really long way. And in fact, just the case that we recently charged out recently in St. Paul involving the sex trafficking ring, in that complaint, there's a number of gaps where all of these victims, somewhere along the way, they had encounters with law enforcement, but we weren't able to pick up on those situations. But luckily, because of the review that we were doing, we knew that we could go back and find these cases in law enforcement jurisdictions throughout the metropolitan area. And so that review, I think we don't have the funds to basically what we're – at the end of the year, we will have at the end of the year a model protocol in Ramsey County and in St. Paul for law enforcement and prosecution. But we'll develop a toolkit for statewide training. However, we do not have the money to disseminate, to convene, and to expand that vision statewide. And so, this appropriation would allow that to happen. And I think the county attorney's office would be very well poised to do that. And so, I'll turn it over to Sergeant Ganey to talk a little bit more about some of the themes that we've picked up in our review and all of that.
Welcome to the committee, Sergeant Ganey.
Mr. Chair and members, thank you. Thank you, John. I also wanted to mention just today that Grant Schneider from Minneapolis wasn't able to make it today. Grant sent us a message, and he's actually out with a young sex trafficking victim right now that he's recovering from a hotel. I don't know exactly where he is, but that's why he is not here today. So St. Paul Police and Ramsey County have a history of working together. And obviously, we're fortunate to be partners with Ramsey County in this effort. John mentioned some of the gaps that we've identified in our system, and I can tell you it was a little scary to shine a bright light on our system as far as what we were doing and how we were handling some of these cases. He mentioned one of the gaps being where we came across a sex trafficking case where these girls were being trafficked, and they were encountered by two different agencies, multiple police officers, two different agencies in the same night within hours of each other. And neither one of those agencies or those officers recognized what was happening to those three trafficking victims right there that night. So one of the things we want to do is provide training for our patrol officers but also investigators. The St. Paul Police Department currently offers, through our Professional Development Institute, a training class on how to conduct undercover sting operations and train investigators from Minnesota on how to investigate these cases. We've seen an increase in participation in that class from investigators from other states. We are proud to lead the way in this effort and provide the training for other agencies. And we just want to expand on that. These cases are very difficult for investigators to work because you have the combination of a sexual assault, domestic abuse, and oftentimes an uncooperative victim who is hesitant to tell her story. Our federal partners at the National Gang Intelligence Center and the FBI's Crime Against Children's Unit is reporting that gang activity is expanding into juvenile prostitution. Again, that gang activity is expanding into juvenile prostitution. And they're simply doing this for the financial benefits that they receive by selling young, vulnerable girls. I'd like to tell you a story about a young girl that we came across during one of our cases. This young lady was committed to a shelter-type facility because she is legally defined as a vulnerable adult. She had made police reports in several different cities as to what was happening to her, including a sexual assault, a missing persons report, and a variety of other things that were happening to her. Once we located her in our case as a trafficking victim, at the end of the interview, this young lady asked me, "What took us so long to find her?" She said, "What took you so long to find me?" And that was shocking to hear. It wasn't a direct result of anything that the St. Paul Police Department had done, but it was a direct result of the system as a whole failing this young lady. Again, legally a vulnerable adult that was a trafficking victim, had made numerous reports, and nobody had done anything about it. So I just wanted to share that story with you. I can't think of anything else.
Mr. Chairman, if I could just say one more thing, too. I want to also make the distinction, too, about the language that's in the Senate bill versus the House bill. The appropriation in the Senate is for $300,000, and what that encompasses is to develop and actually do the training statewide for law enforcement and prosecution. The House language actually adds the other term, other professionals, in there as well. I think there are also, and the House appropriation is $750,000, and what that would allow us to do is also to include the whole spectrum of systems, people, professionals who actually have connections and contact with vulnerable children. Because, as Sergeant Ganey has said many times, the solution to ending sex trafficking, to find these victims and to hold these traffickers accountable, all of that information is in our databases, in our child protection system, in our police reports. So if we can include, so the House language would allow us, I think, also to develop a broader protocol development, not just within law enforcement and prosecution, which we're doing that work right now with respect to the review, but we could expand that and include other systems as well in that.
Okay, very good. Any questions? Senator Dietze.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. County Attorney Troy, thank you for your work doing this, and I know I've heard this presentation at least once before, but if you could refresh my memory, is the money going to Ramsey County, or is the money going to be a grant process that other entities, I know Minneapolis has worked well with, worked as part of this, and so how is that going to work? And I don't need a long, just a short, just if you could refresh
County
my
Attorney
memory.
County Attorney Troy.
Mr. Chair and Senator Dietzick, the language in both the Senate and the House has the appropriation going directly to the Ramsey County Attorney's Office, but there's language in there that talks about allowing for the County Attorney's Office to partner with other agencies, and Minneapolis would be a really important part of that. They have some really great investigators, and they've done a lot of great work in this particular area. Of course, St. Paul as well. But also, too, an important part of this is that we all, and I can speak for Sergeant Snyder and Minneapolis Police Department and St. Paul Police Department and Ramsey County Attorney's Office and many of my county attorney colleagues, but we embrace and believe in a victim-centered approach. And so part of that is that victim advocate organizations also need to be a part of developing these protocols and also disseminating and being a part of the training, which I think would be critical.
And Senator Dietzick, there's some other language we have on the House side that, in addition to this biennial appropriation to Ramsey County to develop this curriculum, there would be $375,000 ongoing funding to OJP for law enforcement prosecutors, so other jurisdictions could be applying for these grants.
But
on page R15 of the... Senator Dietzick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you again to County Attorney Choi. I know he spent a lot of time in this, and I think it's a great program, and it's not just Minneapolis-St. Paul. It is statewide.
Yes.
So thank you.
Okay. Any other questions? Well, thank you all for your testimony, and yeah.
Mr. Chair. Thank you, Mr. Chair. County Attorney Choi. I'm sorry, I was going to say Commissioner Choi. So this is a little off topic, but will the county attorney's offices have additional cost related to the e-filing and the e-discovery that the court will be implementing statewide?
County Attorney Choi.
Mr. Chair, Representative Hillstrom, I guess I really haven't thought about that. You kind of caught me off guard, but I know that there's been somewhat of a bump in dealing with e-filing in terms of staff time, but I think the vision of it all is that eventually it would save us time. I would hope that would be the case, but I guess I don't really have a specific answer other than just knowing that I've heard some complaints from my staff about the e-filing, but I think that's just getting up to speed on it. But I think the vision of it would be that it would hopefully not cause the stress and the hardship that it is now.
Representative Hillstrom.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. But did you have the technology in place in your office to accommodate that?
County Attorney Choi.
Mr. Chair and Representative Hillstrom, I don't know if I can give you an answer because I don't know if we did or not. But I've heard complaints about just the transition in our child protection system, and it hasn't been easy, but I think things are starting to smooth out a little bit.
We have someone from the Advocates for Human Rights. Did you want to testify? No? Okay.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Lass.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Choi, on page R15, maybe someone in the House can answer this also. The $375,000 per year for grants specifies to local law enforcement and prosecuting authorities. Yet Mr. Choi testified that the amount in the House is greater than that provided in the Senate because they want to be able to go beyond the local law enforcement and prosecuting authorities to other entities as well. That's not specified in the language in the House bill. Can someone help me understand that?
It's specified earlier in on line 7, point 11, 7.10.7.11.
So
and the others who, in their professional capacity, encounter and sexually exploit and traffic youth.
Mm-hmm. So, Mr. Chairman, it would take that additional money to expand the protocol that's being developed to include others?
Let Mr. Choi answer that, but that's the way I understand it. Expand the curriculum that they are in the process of developing to include other practitioners who would encounter trafficked children. Mr. Choi, do you want? Am I getting that right?
That's correct, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, I'll take a look at what's in the Senate language in a separate bill.
And one other thing, can I turn to Choi? I think it would be helpful for the committee. I don't know how. I don't need a huge budget, but I think it might be helpful for you to provide some kind of a budget on how this money would actually be used. FTEs you might hire. I realize that I don't want to get way into the weeds with it, but it seems to me we should have something.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I could start working on that and get that to you shortly.
Very good. Thank you. Thank you for your testimony. Now we will hear finally for today the from the Department of Public Safety. Deputy Commissioner Ellison, welcome to the committee. For some reason, I don't have those handouts that you had. It's okay if you don't. I just thought those were good handouts that talked about the systems, and I.
Are they in the packets?
So, Deputy Commissioner, maybe you could just walk us through these systems that...
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, here's what, for the record, my name is Mary Ellison. I'm Deputy Commissioner of the Department of Public Safety, and here's what we had planned to do today, just briefly, because I know the day is getting long, but there had been questions, particularly in the Senate side, about the use of trunk highway funds for forensic lab activities and the appropriateness of that, and the relationship between our request and the St. Paul laboratory closing, and then the use of DVS special revenue funds for the DVS, for the BCA systems. I know some of the senators couldn't be here. I don't know if you want me to proceed with that. We certainly can move right to an overview of the systems if you would prefer that. I would ask what your preference would be.
Well, I guess I would ask Senator Latz what, since we have this funded in the House side, if what I think it would be helpful for you to explain the priority and why these systems are needed. And I think you should also explain the sort of the transfer, too. So why don't you do it both?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, just briefly, I wanted to talk then just a little bit about the use of trunk highway funds for lab activities at the Bureau of Criminal Apprehension. And I know particularly Senator Dibble had questions about the appropriateness of that and the legality of that. And I just want to point out that the Bureau of Criminal Apprehension has received trunk highway funds for toxicology and DWI activities for about 29 years. Mr. Dolish is in the audience to answer specific questions. He said that that's been the case since he has been with the BCA. The only time that we had a reduction in the use of trunk highway funds for testing DWI cases.
Deputy Commissioner, we're going to need to stop you for a minute. There's a vote on the Senate floor, so we'll just take a brief recess.